Okay, can everybody hear?
Question is if the Rav would have been able to do it by himself.
Say again?
The Rav would have been able to
do it. No, I don't think so. I don't know, maybe. Maybe he definitely didn't. What can I tell you? Thank you very much for the drink. Okay. So let's begin. So we were in the middle of discussing what happens when there are multiple brachos. That's an interesting, very interesting phenomenon. And as we noted, that's something that does occur in some very prominent contexts. Right, we mentioned Birchas HaTorah. We don't want to expand so much on that because that's a topic in its own right. And we were discussing Birchas Mila, which we don't usually get a chance to talk about, which is one of the reasons we expanded on it a little bit more. And of course, it's the discussion of Tosas here and some of the other Rishonim as well, Al Atar. So again, there's an interesting line in the. We also have such a phenomenon, I should mention, in Tefillin, right? Because if we make two brachos for Tefillin on the Yad and the Rosh, there's a secondary debate, right, whether or not we're making independent brachos, or it is basically one mitzvah, but we're nevertheless, involved in two different brachos. In minyan mitzvos, is it one or two mitzvos? The information or the evidence when it comes to tefillin in general is very mixed. Clearly the Gemara says that you're not allowed to interrupt between one, and the others, the sicha between one and the others, in Orchei Melchama and the whole discussion of that. On the other hand, there's contrary indications. So again, in all these cases, but you have to look at each one independently, we have to try to figure out whether we're dealing with two Birchas HaMitzvah, or one is Birchas HaMitzvah and the other is Birchas Shavach. Again, in the case of Tefillin, it's pretty clear, that we're dealing with two Birchas HaMitzvah. The question is, why do we have two, and also why do we have the discrepancy, which we'll get back to very soon anyway, that one is Lehaniach, tefillin, and the other is al mitzvahs tefillin. Right, in a similar way, if you say lamul, but you say, or you say al amila, but what about lahachniso? So there's a line in the Ramban where, when the Ramban talks about, when some of the Rishonim talk about tefillin, for example, I think in the Rosh, I should say, I'm just confusing two things for a second, where some of the Rishonim say that, whenever you have two brachos on the same mitzvah, that it's better to mix up the lashonos. Everybody have that line in the Rush? Al Atar? And then, of course, the question is, fine, you want to mix up the lashonos, but it should still be, something that makes sense. So they say, do you have it? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So it's a little bit strange in the sense that it sounds like there's an independent value, right, to not being redundant or not having, the same nusach, habracha. And, that's a little interesting. It goes together with, let's say, the broader phenomenon also in this sugya that we find, whether it's the Ravid or the, or earlier even, where the suggestion is that some of the nuschei habrachos, serve, some sort of a other function. If you take this line in the Rosh Kipshuto, it sounds like there's some, it's aesthetically, less pleasing, or it's preferable, maybe say it better in the other way, in a positive way, to mix up, the Lashon. It's almost like, if you're writing something, so you don't want to keep using the same word, you want to use a synonym, you know, there should be a certain elegance, I guess, a certain aesthetic quality, you know, to the writing. So, you know, that's an interesting phenomenon, and I'll get back to it in just a second. Maybe it does highlight that when it comes to Kiyum HaMitzvos and Brachos and Tefillah more particular, that the aesthetic element is something to think about. Either way, it's a curious thing. It's not obvious at all. It struck me anyway, obviously. And it's something to think about, but maybe to draw, you know, interesting conclusions about. In a parallel way, the whole, perspective that we find repeated in the Rishonim who discuss this whole topic, you know, that maybe, you know, the, you know, Davar HaMachria in the Nusach of Brachos in some cases is to reflect the era Talmud Chacha, right, based on the Gemara in Brachos about Motzi and HaMotzi, right, and according to some, including the Raiva, that's how the Ramban begins. If somebody could read it, just to know, can you have it there? The very beginning of the Ramban, when he quotes the Raivin, and the Ran, of course, you know, who's quoting the Ramban is quoting this as well, right? The Kosher Lul Ravusa, Kiva de Lavar, you have that? Kiva de Belavar, Kulam Alo Pligi, Lamanu Machnis and Roshenu Beno Maklokas. Do you have that? Like right in the very, the second paragraph. Right, especially, in other words, if there's no difference, then and they both work, like why court controversy, right? Which is also an important perspective, frankly. Okay, v'tirat haravid, d'ochi kamar, v'hilchasa. Meaning it's not ma'akev. You could say either one, either way, that's okay. Yeah.
There's an inherent value in someone's bracha to show or to display that it's Talmud Chacham.
Yeah.
Okay, in the Rambam Perash Rashi, Zal, okay, it's about seven brachot, Moitzi, Kulam, and Obigi, the whole Pika, and Pascu, the Ilkata, Hamoitzi.
Motzi works, but Hamotzi is better. And they said, and the Gemara says, "Kedeman de Baruch Motzi Zehu Shomer Malavadim Gadalu." Right? Okay. So again, the it's not clear from the Gemara that that's the reason. It's just the Gemara says it as a fact. It's curious that there, you know, that there's a group of Rishonim that think, you know, that would be a factor. In other words, the Gemara says in Brachos that if, you know, if you say it this way, you know, that's the sign of a Talmud Chacham. But it doesn't say that.
Tell Rav Am to say it that way. And also, why would that make sense? I mean, if they're paskening that Nusach, so why would they tell Rav Am, who's presumably not Talmud Chacham, say there's Nusach which shows it?
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm saying, and the Gemara itself doesn't say what it, you know, the evidence from the Gemara does not reach, you know, the claim of the Rishonim here, I'd say. It's like, oh, that's what he said. Kanireh is a Talmud Chacham. That's different than saying, you know, this is the reason to do that. So I say, I think there are two possibilities, you know, to explain this, and they're both interesting. And again, it goes to that, you know, the rush as well, and similar kind of phenomena. Whether you find, you know, this kind of aesthetic element. One is, as I said before, that. You know, being more, you know, by taking, let's say, a less traveled path, you know, the number one, again, in doubling, you could just say it's pure aesthetics, as I gave the example. But I think, you know, even then there's something more. There's something about taking the less traveled path, maybe, you know, that also may indicate, you know, a certain thoughtfulness or reflection in making a bracha. Right, everybody, you know, would just say, like, the more obvious one, and you're taking the more elegant one, because you're putting kind of more, implicitly, you know, more aesthetic, in some cases, you know, input into it, or more reflection and thought. I could say it this way, it's a nice way to say it. And that, as I say, indicates a little bit more that it's like a personal bracha, or it's a reflection of the respect and reverence that you have for it, and you know, the capacity to reflect that even in the smallest ways, you know, is like somebody will tell you they make a simcha, and you know, sometimes you hear when people make simchas, you know, so the flowers have to be just so, and the, you know, presentation just so. A lot of times it's, you know, you try to impress other people. But in some cases it really is like this is the way that the, you know, individual is trying to put their personal nofech, like, you know, it means a lot to them. It's an expression of their value and the reverence and the, you know, the hakaras hatov. They want it to be just so. It's not to impress other people necessarily. Sometimes what impresses other people is also, you know, something that requires more effort and investment. But I'm talking about the motive and, you know, the motivation here. And that, I think, is something that we're kind of encountering a little bit, you know, in these, you know, in these makoros. Whether it's the Gemara saying, aha, you know, mitoch birchosav nikar shehu talmud chacham, or the Rishonim going even further and saying, you know, you should make brachos in a way, you know, that reflect that. Because clearly the idea is not to be a show-off, and it's not to abandon, you know, being a shval ruach or, you know, a tsanua, you know, person. You know, clearly we decry people, you know, who are, you know, constantly, you know, displaying, you know, their, you know, erudition or their qualities, you know, in and of itself to impress other people. But, you know, something that kind of does reflect greater thought and greater, you know, personal input, it means something to them and for a reason, and it works, or they know that it works and it means something to them. But that, of course, overlaps with the next point I want to make, and these are not mutually exclusive, and that is that even though the Gemara is not, even though the Rishonim here are not saying this, and the Gemara certainly in Brachos didn't say this, maybe the idea, and again I go back to the example of synonyms in writing, it's not always like, you know, switch things up, make it sound, you know, different, you know, more elegant. Sometimes, you know, there are very, very small, subtle, you know, differences, you know, between synonyms, you know, that matter. And again, by choosing, like, just the right, you know, most accurate or most appropriate, you know, language, there's a kiyum in that. You know, there's certainly what I just said, meaning a reflection of thoughtfulness and personal involvement and reverence and respect. But in addition to that, you know, there also may be halachic, objective, or in some cases, personal halachic, you know, extra, you know, meaning. So I have a reason why this, whether, you know, it's relatable or just more instinctive, you know, that this is more meaningful way, or I feel this is a better way, you know, or even if it's just a more aesthetic way, you know, to say it. So, for example, that Rush, interestingly enough, right, the Rush is, points, continues to say, you know, and, you know, why are we saying lehaniach, you know, for tefillin shel yad, and we're saying al for tefillin shel Rosh, because this is the Gemara. So again, you could say, you could understand it more narrowly, and say, well, listen, we want to change things up because we don't want it to be dull, or we want to make a splash, or we don't want it to be, you know, we want to, I don't know, maybe demonstrate our, you know, literary range, or whatever it is, our vocabulary. But, you know, having done that, you know, there still should be a rhyme or a reason, you know, why, you know, why we choose one or the other. And, you know, the reason we're, you know, changing is narrower, you know, but then at the end of the day, there's still, you know, if you're going to make that choice, it should be something, you know, that has an objective element as well. The way I think of it more is, you could have, you know, gotten away, you know, and if it was only one bracha, maybe the appropriate thing would have been to say, you know, le, for whatever reason. Let's assume for the moment, you know, for both of the reasons, you know, which we'll get to in just a few minutes, it's a more personal, you know, a mitzvah shebegufo. You know, it's not something that you farm out. You know, it's immediate. It's extended rather than immediate, right? Since it's the Gemar, you know, you're going to, you know, that maybe that wasn't enough alone, you know, to, but now that you are, you know, motivated, right, to, let's say, emphasize this nuanced difference between these two mitzvahs that are connected, you know, so then you're going to do it in a way, you know, that accentuates like an existing, you know, motif in the tochen of that mitzvah. Okay, so basically what I'm saying, I'm saying too long to say, but is that in this whole discussion of Nusach HaBrachos, we do find quite a few statements that seem to kind of trivialize, or that seem to, you know, perceive the issues in a more technical way. That's the summary of what I'm just summarizing what I've just said. And I gave two examples, you know, of that, you know, just now. And I think that there are two approaches that may be true, but it also could be that there are two approaches that kind of elevate even these factors. One is that the aesthetic element, or three. One is the aesthetic element in its own right, which I think is not a small matter. Number two, the fact that that aesthetic element reflects, you know, personal involvement, reverence, anofech mishalo, you know, enthusiasm and appreciation for the opportunity of the mitzvah or the bracha. And number three, where there's an acknowledgement that there are, the tochen is different. Like, we'd have to figure out, I'm not going to do that right now, you know, what is the enhancement, you know, of hamotzi over motzi. I don't think it's so hard to do. You know, with the hey hayadiya, you know, that, and, you know, that is particularly, you know, open to the sensitivity of a talmid chacham. Okay? And it's much easier to do that, you know, if we're talking about an al and a le. Even if we take the, you know, Ravid view, first view of the Ravid, which is, there's nothing so hardcore that would make anything be ma'akev. Right? That doesn't mean, you know, that there still aren't different emphases that are not ma'akev, you know, and yet that are the preference, you know, and that yet that are consistent with somebody who has a much more nuanced, you know, understanding and appreciation of the difference between different mitzvos, and therefore, you know, even when there are two possibilities, you know, the appropriate way to formulate them. Yeah.
Where do we see number two? Because I would think that, like, more, even still...
What is number two? Just remind me.
The more personal.
No, I'm just saying, if there's an idea...
The Kamara of it, that's more personal than just the fact that...
No, I'm not saying the more personal that you get to choose. What I'm saying is that maybe part of the idea there may be an objective thing about, you know, an aesthetically pleasing presentation, you know, of mitzvos. Well, in mitzvos, of course, there is a keli van vayu, it's all the fun of mitzvos, and so on. But maybe even in brachos and in the sukkah bracha, you know, and so on. That, like, number one. Number three, to make it clearer, that just because, you know, small differences or subtle differences are not enough to be ma'akev, and therefore it's not accurate to say that one nusach habracha is meduyak and the other is not, and that doesn't necessarily translate into, you know, chiyuv and ikuv, that nonetheless there aren't, you know, differences that are worth emphasizing, you know, before the performance of a mitzvah. That makes it much more substantive. And then I guess number two in the middle is, I'm not saying that, you know, pick the one that makes you feel the best, which is, I think, what you're talking about in David Kamar or something like that, where you can pick and choose. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is something, you know, in between those two things, and that is, oh, there's a very small difference in the, you know, in by saying motzi and hamotzi, like you're adding something, is what I'm trying to say. But it's something that is small enough, you know, that it just, you know, what's important about her, or what's you know, what we're complimenting, oh, you sound like a Talmid Chacham, is the fact that you are giving thought to, and that you think that this really is an area where aesthetics matters. That's what I mean. Not that you choose, you know, whichever makes you feel better or, you know, more aesthetically pleased. I didn't mean that. Yeah?
How do we account for the fact that most of the people making the bracha are not going to understand, like, the subtle differences?
Well, I mean, again, objectively, if the Talmid Chachamim establish it, you know, so, and especially if you say what I'm saying, that it isn't just, you know, stam. Whatever of these three are, you know, there's an objective component to all these three, in a way, is what I'm trying to say. And therefore, you know, acknowledging that the differences aren't great enough for to be ma'akev, you know, and not making them more than they are, because that's some of the other Rishonim are saying, maybe it is ma'akev, if you say al or le, you know, inappropriately according to the rules, and you're kind of, you know, misdirecting people in terms of, you know, the proper emphasis in terms of this mitzvah. So we're saying all that is lacking. We're within the view that you could say this or you could say that, and you'd be yotzei in both situations. But there is an objective better way. If there's an objective better way, then, you know, it's probably better even for the people. I'm just saying it comes from, there's like a process here. Ah, Talmidei Chachamim, like, have discerning Talmidei Chachamim have, you know, identified this, you know, and now, you know, if we were to understand what they were thinking, you know, it has a more, on the contrary, I think it highlights that there's a more objective element. Because we're not saying it's only for Talmidei Chachamim. We're just saying that other people are yotzei. Okay. Anyway, so that's something that I just wanted to mention at the outset. Again, even, you know, you have this a little bit even in Avar and Asid. I mean, again, I gave two examples, you know, the Rush and this Ravid, but you have even more in the Ran, but, you know, of course, rooted in the Ramban, you know, like, to what extent is, well, let's say it this way, to what extent is, you know, the Lashon of Le or the Lashon of Al, you know, because it's normally generally associated with Avar or Atid, you know, therefore a better usage, even, you know, when the issue is more neutral in a substantive way, right? Like, that's a fact. If you look in the Ramban, in the continuation, we talk about, oh, why are we discussing this in B or Chametz and not in other things? But even more so in the Ran, one second. Yeah. So again, there could be other, you know, oh, there are other misconceptions that people could have. That's how the Ran takes it, even more than the Ramban. Ki pligi bosa mitzvah shecholos l'skai ma'idei acher, debididu shaykh tvei al, kedei shelo l'shanos tofes habracha ben shenasis ha'idei ba'ala, ben shenasis ben ha'idei acher, ha'pali ha'chi ma'na me'livar, s'fir le'dal korcha keshan l'shanosam, kim she'ef shel avarich b'lamid, sh'amitzim b'tel us olav kova, right, ilu nevarich ba'al av ha'mashma me'ikara. So again, the way the Ran's Umar Sovar de la Haba Mashma, Bekim de la Haba Mashma, Tvei Havel and Bruche Bahani Baal, Bruche Balamid, Kadeshe Nikar Mibrachos of Shem Mitzvah Chalis Kaimai de Acher. Meaning, the way the Ran formulates it, Dibra Maslo Begamara, and this is an extension, but I believe an expansion, you know, it's from, but it goes a little further than the Ramban. It sounds like, you know, the Nusach HaBracha wars, you know, battles, are mostly about, you know, other things, like what misconceptions are more prevalent or which misconceptions are worse. Those are two different things too, right? If you say this nusach as it, you know, even if it's more meduyak, but people might get the impression, you know, that that it's efshali de shliach when it really isn't, is that better? Or you could do this and it'll be more meduyak, but people might get the impression that you're talking about avar instead of asid, you know, so what's your risk-benefit, you know, ratio, you know, when it comes to making these Nusach HaBracha Wars questions? That's kind of how the Ran, you know, looks at it, somewhat. And I think that, I'll get to this in just a second, that another perspective might be, given the nature of the particular mitzvah, right, what is just more, you know, of a meduyak. For example, I mean, I'll just let me explain, you know, the case. Right, the Ran here is weighing in on the question of the Rambam, let's say, versus Rashi and other Rishonim. Namely, will you say Lomul, let's say, as opposed to Al Hamila, if the father is the Moel? Right? So that's a debate between the Rambam and the and Rashi, right? So, you know, what we say in that case, or cases again, where something which is Efshar Yidei Shliach, but it's not, you know, but it's still better Al Yado, Ish Mitzvah Sachir Shafopi Shemutolos Olav Efshar Lihipater Mimeno Al Yidei Acher Kibir Chometz Amila Pidgin Aben Mitzvah Salol Kashay Nasos Al Yidei Acher Hakomodim Shos Acher Mivarech Aleim Baal. Right. But what, you know, what about the middle cases? Right? The Ilu Omar Bahani Al Kivin Shef Shalomemer Levayer Mashma Meikaro Miu Kishanasis Aideh Acher De La Matzi Lomemer Levayer. Right? De La Valei Rami Kiomer Al Bir Lomashma Meikaro. Right? So I'm saying the Ran, in his discussion of these issues, is very much focused on, as I say, like a hierarchy of misconceptions that, you know, you want to preclude. And I think that, and again, I'm not, you know, going to shock anybody that I prefer this way, that maybe the argument is really a little more substantive about, you know, some of the gray areas, let's say, in between, you know, some of these issues. So, again, for example, again, the Machlokus in the Rambam and Rashi, we'll get back to Mila in just a minute because we were talking about that. I want to expand on that a little bit more anyway. That, again, the Avi Aben does the Mila, right? So basically the Ran's question on the Rambam, just to highlight it, is, you know, what's the difference between Mila and Bir Chametz? Right? A Sikna Bir Chametz is Rav Papa and Rav Papi, right? Lefikach Alei Ukiyotzeba Sheikhola Liskai Maidei Acher Bevarchim Baal Dafka Umina, this is Rashi, Dilamaskana Aviabe Nami Mavarech Baal Sheloka Diver Rambam, who writes that depending on who does the action, that will dictate the bracha. Av Rav Papa, after quoting the Rambam, Ve'ein Dvar Mechavarim D'chi Amrin An Hachi Hani Mili L'Rav Papi the Amar Levayr Av Rav Papa the Amar Al Biur Avi Aben Nami Mevarech Al Amila D'Mila Be'Avi Aben Kibir Chametz Dami. Like, if you just took that out of context, people would say, what? Right? D'Iu Nami Mechayiv El de'ef shalomeh but al yidei acher. So basically, because the Ran has, I think, a very structural, you know, kind of, you know, broader, more technical, you know, perspective on the on these issues. Like, what do? You know, he's objectifying them all, basically. Because his initial categorization is pretty, you know, clear for the Ran. You know, there's this type, and there's that type, and there's the next type. And then there are these, you know, other factors that you have to take into consideration. Like, are people going to think it's avar, and when it's really, you really need to be focusing on asid? Are people going to think, you know, that it needs a shliach, you know, when it could be done al-yidei acher? Like, these are factors. And again, I'm not disagreeing. Clearly, that's the Rush's approach. Therefore, from the Rush's standpoint, you know, all structurally similar cases are the same. There's no difference between Bir Hametz and Mila. However, maybe it's possible, you know, that the Nusach Wars are just a little bit more a little more specific, you know, than that. Because we you know, whether it is, and we're going to see this in just a minute, but let me make the bigger point first, finish talking a little bit more about Mila, and then as an example, and then we'll go back to some other examples. But, you know, whether we're talking about extended mitzvos and immediate mitzvos, right, or mitzvos, you know, related to a particular moment, as opposed to, you know, constant mitzvos, those two things are mostly the same, but not necessarily either, but I'm not going to expand on that. But let's say that is one for the moment. Or let's say the distinction, in other words, of associated with, you know, the Ravid and Rambi and later Rabbeinu Tam. Or the distinction between, let's say, personal mitzvos and mitzvos that can be accomplished on one's behalf, right? Afshali de Shliach, those two are as opposed to mitzvah Shebegufo. In the end of the day, right, you know, we can appreciate, number one, that there can be debates about where particular mitzvos fall, and we'll see that. Even in this very brief survey, of course, if you did the exhaustive survey, you'd see it so much more. There also could be like very new, you know, actual nuances, you know, in not only debate about what, you know, where a particular, what is mitzvah Chanukah, Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, you know, is it an elongated mitzvah or a time limited mitzvah? Is Neros Chanukah, you know, a farming out mitzvah, or is it a personal mitzvah? We could argue about that, and a lot of that argument could be rooted, you know, in how you understand certain halachos. Like, everybody can agree with the criterion of what constitutes these things, and they could just argue about those mitzvos because of certain other things. And we'll get to that, examples of that. But it also could very well be that even in between the categories themselves, right, there are nuances. Like, what about, and sometimes that's the debate, like, what about, you know, there are certain things that are clear. There are mitzvah miyad. The maisa and the kiyum is immediate. Okay, what about a maisa, which is immediate, but the kiyum lingers on? Or what about a maisa, which lingers on, let's say, but not the obvious kum vaase part of it? Okay, we'll get to examples in a minute, like wearing tzitzis, wearing tefillin, wearing kilayim, you know, things of that sort, right? Neros Chanukah. We'll get to, you know, the details in just a minute. We'll see it. But Neros Chanukah, you know, Achetich L'Regel, you know, Minashok. Right? So it's you strike your match, you know, and you light, you know, the candle. But then it continues to burn. Right? What is that exactly? The Kiyum is extended? The Maisa is extended? Not the Kumbaseh. Right? Is that the same as wearing Tefillin? Right, or continuing to learn Torah, right, where you're actually physically kumvaaseing all the time, tamid, right? So, like, even given these criteria, like, or for example, let's take the other one, right? A chiyuv, a personal chiyuv, you know, and a, what are we saying? Are we talking about the difference between, you know, being associated with a result and doing an action? Is that the distinction? Is the distinction like mitzvah shebegufo, where your body, you know, is actually involved, or whether it's a highly personal mitzvah, or like what exactly are we talking about? Right? And what about a situation where, you know, it's your, let's say there are two dimensions of a mitzvah. In the sense that, you know, there's an effect, and then there's also a maisa or a chovas hagavra, or there's a personal aspect which is an added dimension, right? So Are these all the same meaning? I'll give, just to give one quick example, but we'll get back to it in more. You know, the Ran is basically saying, you know, Bior Chametz, you know, and Mila are the same. Everybody agrees that there, it's appropriate to say Al Hamila, right, or Al Bior Chametz, right, because in the end of the day, you know, you don't have to be personally involved in it. So if they're the same, then why would the Rambam think that when the Aviyah Ben is the Mohel, that that changes things? And he wouldn't think that, you know, if the Balabayas is doing the Bidikas Chametz. It's exactly the same thing. It is the same thing if you think that all that matters, or that what matter, the factors that determine, dictate these, you know, these issues is, you know, Avar and Asid and people, you know, mistakenly, you know, thinking that's Yafshar B'Shlichus or Ein B'Shlichus. Even then, of course, you can make distinctions. You could say, well, everybody knows about this mitzvah or everybody knows about that mitzvah. But mostly it's the same. However, what I think the Rambam is telling us in a very profound way by making that distinction and only making it sometimes and not making it others is that, you know, when it comes to Bir Chametz, you know, aside from, you know, Bo Yoser Mibishlucho, and maybe not even that, frankly, maybe that's totally a Totsah-oriented mitzvah. Or maybe there's a Bo Yoser Mibishlucho, you know, for objective, you know, Chivuv Mitzvos purposes. But probably not from a Bir Chametz point of view. Right? But when it comes to Mila, right, maybe the nature of, you know, father-son relation and the nature of what Bris Mila is such that it's more than Bo Yoser Mibishlucho, right? It's really an additional, you know, Chiyuv and Kiyum. Again, if you can't do it, you can't do it. I mean, we'd rather have a proper, you know, Mila than to endanger the child, you know, but in the end of the day, that extra kiyum, that added personal, you know, dimension, which is not, you know, farm outable, you know, absent, you know, the personal's reason part, is a good justification for the mitzvah. But hu adin, to make other distinctions between al and lamed, you know, along the way. So it isn't so much these kind of more objective questions. It's more, right, the nuances of particular mitzvos and the role, whether it's shihui and miyad, or it is, you know, personal versus, you know, efshar al yidei acherim, the levels of that, you know, for each individual mitzvah. Yeah.
Right, and the Rambam, I don't think you have to get into the distinction about the al yidei acherim when it comes to the bir and milo, because he gives a different reason why there's al for bir.
For Bir Chametz.
His reason is the fact that he compares it to Midad Ve'Nafik
Ve'Nafik. Yeah. Although, again, he might kind of mean that it's oriented towards the result, you know, also, but you're right, you have the line in the... Right, I wasn't specifically... I mean, you're right. I mean, the Ran says, what's the difference between Bir Chametz and Mila? So Natan is saying, well, the Rambam, when he talks about Bir Chametz, you know, more particularly, compares it to Midag, but you have the line in the... In Yud Aleph.
Yeah. He says, after talking about Daganap, he says, Kafim Bar Kal, your Chametz, Bein Shabbat Lachlas, Mal Bein Shabbat Lachlacherim, Shemeshah Shagamar Beliba Lavatal, Nafsis Mitzis Habir, Kodim Shiyadil.
Correct. Right. So again, that might be his way of saying that this is a, you know, it's a result-oriented mitzvah for that reason. But you're right. I mean, he does compare it to Lulav. So, like I say, even if the Ran is right about structural things, you know, there's also this added element for the Rambam. I wasn't so fixated on Bir Chametz and Mila. I think it applies to many other things, you know, as well. Like, is there a difference in Pidgin Aben and Mila? Right? Is there a difference, you know, and 10 other things. And what about Shechita and Mila? And what about Shechitas Karbanos generally and Shechitas of Pesach? You know, more specifically. So for me, you know, the idea that, again, for if the more you look at these things in a very structural, that's the categories are pretty set, right? And the issues, or and the issues, are very structural. Like, what's better, you know, to risk, you know, in terms of people's misconstruing, or what's better to be more meduyak in, you know? The more you have that, the more, you know, you're going to have pretty uniform applications. And even then, there'll be reason to be mechalik, and your example in the Rambam is a great example. You know, the Rambam doesn't need to say what I'm saying here. But in the end of the day, the more you look at these categories as being just a little more nuanced, which Rishonim already trying to say by fitting them in one way or another, and then the idea that, well, then some of the choices, and especially the idea that, oh, there's a chalos al-yidei bailim and a different chalos shaloi al-yidei bailim. There are two ways to do this mitzvah, because losing this element or gaining this, let's say positively, gaining this element is a kiyum that should be acknowledged in the bracha. Yeah.
To what extent do we see that feeling on the part of a specific rishon, which in one case, let's say the Rambam's case will affect the nusach habracha, in the Ran's case, presumably he understood all the sources as well, you know, won't affect the nusach habracha. How much of that is their personal outlook on that mitzvah, and how much is like specifically based on?
I mean, why does the Ran seem to take a more structural approach? Yeah. Why does the Rambam, according to what I'm saying, take a more like mitzvah specific approach? It's hard. First of all, I think even the Ran, you know, has exceptions, and even the Rambam has exceptions. So I don't want to, you know, exaggerate the differences, but I do think that there's a difference. It's always hard to know the answer to that question, and it's always it could be that's just their, you know, understanding of this particular topic. Meaning the Rambam was, you know, maybe impressed with some of the distinctions in the Gemara. Or other early evidence that, you know, implied to him that this is that the range, you know, and the flexible range, let's say, of, you know, what the nusach would be for a particular bracha, for a particular mitzvah, is, you know, more dynamic, and that it is more, you know, specific, you know, to the mitzvah, whereas the Ran thought, based on his reading of the Gemaras, you know, that there were other, like even just quoting, oh, demonstrate your Talmud Chacham, if you take a Kipchuto and things like that, you know, might be more, you know, it's less about the individual or specific, you know, unless you interpret kind of the way I'm saying. So I do think that it always could be, you know, just like, what did you receive first, not what did you see first, but what evidence impressed you more, let's say, you know, and so on. However, I also think that, you know, there also could be personal, you know, inclinations, but inclinations about what you think, you know, across the system. Like, why is it that I, clearly, not that you have to study me, but why am I clearly more inclined to thinking that these are all about different nuances in the mitzvos, you know, then obviously, you know, it's pretty clear from the way I'm saying it that I'm much more excited about one idea than the other. Although I'm trying to say that the other ideas are important too, and they are. But, right, I think a certain derech hachashiva, that's like a very important question, like a meta question. A certain derech hachashiva, you know, as an inclination, is not surprising, you know. And now, what was the Rambam's, you know, that's an old debate, right? So my personal view, obviously, is that it's, you know, extremely, you know, legally nuanced, lumdish, if you want to call it, you know, and... you know, that's kind of the methodology that I, you know, that I identify with, you know, hopefully for good reasons, hopefully for objective reasons, not just because it appeals to me. So, yeah, it's a great question, but you have to be very careful in these things, because sometimes it is just the evidence. And then what I've found is that there are a lot of patterns and things. Like, we've talked many, many times, like, about, you know, what role does Torah Shemichsav play? You know, is that also Lumdis, or is that just Gili Milsa? Things like that. And I've said often, you know, that I think I discern huge differences between the Rambam, you know, and Balei Tosis and other things. So I think that there clearly are, in so many issues, you know, patterns. And what's also very comforting and inspiring is that with all, I think the patterns are comforting, inspiring, and consistency, but I think it's also comforting that you that there's no predictability, and that either way you have to reconstruct, and that there are exceptions to the patterns. And the reason that that's inspiring and comforting is because it shows that the authorities, you know, the Chachmei HaMesora in question, are always engaging the Makoros. And whatever patterns they have or you know, assert as, let's say, being primary or, you know, being default likely patterns, in the end of the day, you know, they have the flexibility and the honesty, you know, and the objectivity, you know, to discern exceptions to those. And I think that that's important. Right. Okay. So, good. Let's get back to, so that, this is a good example of what I mean. So getting back to Mila, just for a minute, so we were talking in Mila about, you know, the two brachos as well, and the idea that either one is Birchas HaShevach, one is Birchas HaMitzvah and the other is Birchas HaShevach, or maybe they are two mitzvos, you know, nonetheless, you know, there are different dimensions. There's Mila, I was suggesting, as Mila, as, you know, more limited mitzvah, and also Mila as, you know, bris, as something which is kind of an approach to and like a mediation of, you know, kolam mitzvahs. I quoted that shach, you know, and other indications of some of the unique elements of Mila to kind of highlight, you know, that second motif. And that, you know, lachniso bebriso shel Avraham Avinu, you know, is about that, maybe. So again, it's, you know, that idea is an important theme. The other possibility is that one is Birchas HaMitzvah, the other is Birchas HaShevach, but that's even to make that clear, like why certain mitzvos, you know, brachos, only focus on Shevach, let's say the Rosh's view, well, the Rosh's condition, we know why, but let's say why, you know, in certain mitzvahs we focus on Shevach, and in others on only on Birchas HaMitzvah, or in certain mitzvahs we have a, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaShevach, and in others, you know, we don't. You know, I think that too is not unrelated, you know, to the things that we're talking about. That where you have a mitzvah, you know, which transcends itself, you know, it's not just, you know, like mitzvahs kiddushin, right? Again, then the long and the sakabracha, even if it is a Birchas HaMitzvah according to the Rambam. I always like to explain that for the Rosh, it's a Birchas Shevach Vodah, that explains the Nusach, explains other things. You know, what are you going to do for the Rambam? These are still good questions. So I've tried to explain in the past that for the Rambam and his understanding of Mitzvah's Kiddushin and the relationship between the Kiddushin part and the Chuppah part, actually, Birchas HaMitzvah, this long, you know, elaborate, you know, fascinatingly constructed, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah is like the perfect nusach that you could ever want, right? To really encapsulate, you know, what this mitzvah is really, you know, all about. So in a way, you know, I don't think this is a problem, but you could say, well, that's cheating. You're basically, you know, saying that the Rosh is Shevach V'Hodah is the Rambam's description of the mitzvah. I don't think it's cheating at all. I think in the end of the day, the Rosh and the Rambam differ in a fundamental way about the nature of this bracha, but right, and they do differ about kiddushin because the Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah and the Rosh thinks it's a means to an end of Purim Rivia. So there are important aspects of the machlokas, but I do think it's fair to say that you know, part of the uniqueness of Ishus, you know, they totally share, and frankly, I would be shocked if they didn't. That one sees it as a unique Birchas HaMitzvah, that the other sees it, you know, as a Birchas Shevach, you know, is fine. You know, so again, so what I'm trying to say is, where you have a mitzvah, you know, that occasions, you know, Shevach V'Hodah, and especially both, right, the idea that that particular mitzvah, you know, just like where you have a mitzvah that occasions a singular nusach of Birchas HaMitzvah, like Kiddushin, Mekadesh Yisrael, you know, Al Yedei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. So too, where you have like Mila, let's assume that it isn't. If you say there are two Birchas HaMitzvah, one for, you know, Mila, narrowly, you know, conceived, the other for Mila B'Toras, you know, bris l'kala mitzvos, you know, then clearly we're saying something very important about bris milah. But even if you don't say that and you say that the lakniso is shevach v'hodah, the fact that there's a shevach v'hodah in addition to the birchas hamitzvah is certainly related, you know, to the same themes. That's the point I want to make. Moreover, I think Asher mentioned this to me the other day, that, you know, either way, it's fascinating to note that we make another bracha at a milah, right? Koreis habris, Asher kidash yedid mi beten, right? V'chok b'she'erosam. Very fascinating bracha also, just, you know, just the language of it is so interesting. And, you know, we conclude koreis habris. You know, that, of course, is after, you know, everything. Again, I think it's a different emphasis. I think that's more about Kedushas Yisrael, the bris of Kedushas Yisrael, rather than the bris of mitzvos. But that's certainly Birchas Shemach V'Hodah, and that's certainly a critical, you know, unique thing that, you know, Mila has three brachos, really, like Talmud Torah in a way, in a different way. So, yeah. So these are some things to, you know, to think about and to investigate. I think I mentioned this to Eitan the other day in a different context. But even like, you know, things like whether Osek Mitzvah Patur Bar Mitzvah applies to Mila or not, you know, is maybe relevant to this Yesod, in addition to all the other things that we spoke about. Meaning, the Or Zeruah has a famous Shita, and the Marach Or Zeruah, his son, you know, reinforces this view. It's, you know, a minority view in the Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim have the opinion that din of Osek mitzvah patur mina mitzvah only applies bedavar she'ef shalas, only in the situation be'ef shalasos shneim. You can't do both of them. The Or Zeruah, also the Ran actually in Sukkah, think that even if it's ef shalasos shneim, Osek mitzvah patur mina mitzvah, which is fascinating, of course. But one of the main questions that is, you know, asked on this view, there's no clash, but there's still Patur of Osek Mitzvah, which obviously says something about, you know, the you know, state that one is in, you know, and how that like takes over your whole, you know, persona and your chiyuvim, obviously, you know, when you're involved in certain mitzvos. So the question that, you know, people ask, you know, so when you're wearing a tefillin and talis, you know, you're patur mina mitzvos. But one of the things, the bigger question they ask is, and when you know, somebody has a bris milah, so he's patur mina mitzvos, you know, and they quote this Gemara, you know, about David HaMelech and the Merchats, you know, and so on. He's got, always got a mitzvah, you know, with him. So, of course, there can be, the main answer to the question is the answer that, you know, even if you hold like the Or Zeruah, which is, you know, that Osek Mitzvah Patur Mina Mitzvah applies even the Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, you still have to have a shame Osek B'Mitzvah, right? What is Osek? So if you don't have that shame, you know, you did a mitzvah a long time ago, you know, and by the way, that goes to an overlapping question of the Nusach HaBracha, Al and Lamed, etc., about, you know, elongated mitzvahs. Are you really doing them? The kiyum continues, you're doing them, the maisa continues, albeit b'shev al tase, like, what is that? Are you osake? You know, that's part of the question. Again, for Bali Tosas, who cares? Because as long as it's efshel l'kayim shneim, it's not a problem. But if you hold, like, the Or Zeruah and the Ran and so on, so, you know, what constitutes osake? How does that connect with, you know, these Nusach HaBracha questions? And, by the way, other parallels, like, you know, Lovesh Kilayim, you know, Motzio Afila Bishuk. You know, so this whole discussion, you know, you didn't put on Kilayim, let's say you're wearing Kilayim already. Right? And the question of your obligation to take it off. Because, you know, Mishum Kavod HaBrios, we sometimes distinguish, you know, Kavod HaBrios, you know, to do something that, you know, undermines your Kavod HaBrios, maybe the difference between Kumase, Sheval Tase. So this is like a whole discussion. This sugya is in Yesh Koch Biad Chachamim Lak or Dover Minat Torah. in the 10th parak of Yevamos, and Tosas there, and Tosas Shagasarye, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has famous discussions on these things. Like, what is considered a maisa? Like, when you're passively continuing, you know, from an active, you know, performance, like, you know, again, you were wearing something, you put something on, you were lovesh, you put it, now you're wearing it. Like, is that active or passive? And with regard to which issues? Anyways, so these are, we'll get back to it a little bit, but these are, is that osake? And you have a bris milah on your body. You're not doing the bris milah. Right? So on the one end, you think that's an easy answer, but not everybody gives that answer. Because it also may be that bris milah is a defining aspect of the chefts of the person. Like even the psukim themselves, himol, nimol, you know, very interesting with shonot, very nifal kind of, you know, you have to do a maisa bris milah, but the important thing is to make you into a, not an oral anymore, but a nimol, a mol, whatever you want to call it. So, I always thought that there's another, you know, answer to the question too, another way to answer the question, that is, that because bris milah, you know, is so connected to chiyuv mitzvos generally, that, you know, maybe the idea is that there's no osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah, because it's too much of an internal, it's either more or less, put it that way, of an internal thing. It's like an internal contradiction, just the way that the Rishonim, you know, the Chachmei Marachor Zarua, actually Chachmei Ashkenaz, and some of the Chachmei Provence, the Mi'iri, you know, say that there's no regular din of osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah in Talmud Torah, because, you know, that would end up being that you're, you know, it would be lil mode, like shalom anas lasos. Right? So, meaning, the role of Talmud Torah is such that it's connected to the performance of mitzvos. You know, even though we say God la Talmud, shemevili, but again, I think we mentioned, maybe Tani mentioned the other day, brought in the language of the Mi'iri in Bava Kama and Yod Zayin, right, in connection with some of these things, that, you know, there's a special relationship between Shmiras HaMitzvos and Limud in both directions. But there is, in another way, a special relationship between Mila and Shar Mitzvos. So, you know, these are some of the things to look for. So if we say that the Bracha of Lachni, whether it's Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, or, you know, a second Birchas HaMitzvah, but focusing on that aspect of it, you know, there is a lot to commend, you know, this this general idea. The Rush here, when he talks about Lachniso Brisa Shalav Armavinu, you know, uses the expression that's not legamri, you know, Birchas HaMitzvah. It sounds like our Tosis, again, it wasn't clear whether Tosis is saying it's Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, that's why it's made Ayide Acher, that's why it follows. The Rush is language you have there, not that I see here. Working towards it is a little stronger. You have to look at there a whole bunch of Rishonim. You have to look at the language, but in each case, here in Tosan Shabbos, and I don't want to go through all of them now because I want to move on. But got it? Panachnisa Babriso? The Rush? I think it says Legamri. You have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. So it's an interesting language, Lagamri. You mean it is or it isn't? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So unlike Tosis, doesn't have the same kind of. It sounds like it is Birchas Shevach. And that's what he's saying. But anyways, these are some of the issues that we... So let me speak about the father just for a minute, because this, is a massive topic, and it's not... The details are not for now, for sure. But, you know, the father has the obligation of bris milah, and the question is how to look at that, you know, the chiyuvim of, you know, ha-ben ala'av, in general. You know, I think the Abu Drama is a comment that all the chiyuvim ha-ben ala'av, you know, flow from Mila. It's all like that Jach in a way. But on the one hand, the father has this chiyuv, Is that because he, more than anyone else, is in a position objectively, you know, it's really chiyuv on Klal Yisrael or anybody, you know, to ensure that there's a bris milah and the father is the address for that? Or is it really a paternal, you know, obligation? It's part of, you know, being a father. What could be more, you know, important in terms of Mesorah and chiyuv av, you know, then initiating one son into Kedushas Yisrael and especially into the bris of mitzvos. So it's a very tricky thing. In the psukim, you know, we're always addressing whether it's, you know, the original one is Avram Avinu, of course, and his obligation. But his obligation was to make himself a nimol, right, as well as, now again, he didn't have a father, you know, who could be the recipient, the address of this obligation. And it, of course, this is, you know, the Avram Avinu phenomenon is something that, you know, continues to be part of the halacha in the sense that, I should do this more often, when the child grows up and he becomes a bar mitzvah, it becomes his obligation. So again, he then assumes the obligation because it's his life and his mitzvos. Or no, he assumes the obligation because it's really on him, just that he's a katan and the father was always just a stand-in, or because he was the best, you know, or only, you know, one. So these are interesting, you know, philosophically, this is a very interesting question about bris milah and about, you know, father-child, you know, concept and relationship. And it's an important question, you know, halakhically, in terms of understanding, you know, the nature of bris milah, and it's relevant to the question of brachos, especially this point I was making about the Rambam, namely, to what extent is, you know, when the father is the moel, is there like more of an accentuation of that added, you know, dimension? And in which case, you know, even if normally when it comes to other mitzvos, you know, we wouldn't say, well, it was shechita or korban pesach or maybe bir chametz if it wasn't for that other, you know, factor, we wouldn't distinguish between whether he, you know, does it for himself or not. You know, you wouldn't say that by hafrasha struma, but you might say it by bris milah. Okay? So, again, it's also interesting in light of that to look at, I have to move on to, I think I'm going to be stuck here, but the it's interesting in light of that to mention also Tosis about Gerim. What's the story with the Tosis on Gerim, Avi? The East Tosa says, you have a line? Yes, go ahead. Right, use the language of Lomol when it comes to Gerim. Yeah, so what do you think about that? That's quite interesting, no? Yeah. Meaning, you would have thought, and we would have thought, that whatever you're going to say about Aval HaBen, you know, you're certainly not going to say that about, you know, any member of Klal Yisrael who happens to be doing the Mila of the Ger, right? First of all, the Ger isn't obligated in Mila. And secondly, what's the relationship? The person isn't even related to him until the end of the Mila. I mean, he's not related to him even at the end of the Mila. He's, you know, he's... But, you know, he's not even, you know, a member of Klal Yisrael. Right? So how would you say Lamul, Dafka there? Like a very strange phenomenon. But very, again, maybe a very inspiring phenomenon. So one way to look at it, the non-inspiring way, we'll say, is to say that, you know, all this shows you is that the obligation of the father also is kind of more, he's the one who does it, or, you know, he's the only address, so there's no one else. He's not taking anybody else's role, that's for sure. You know, somebody else is doing it, since it's the father's technical obligation. You know, he's taking the father's role. Here, there's no other person, you know, other than the person who's doing the milah, is the person who's connected, you know, to the performance of this mitzvah. That's the uninspiring way to say it. I guess the more inspiring way to say it is that, right, that, you know, whoever, you know, takes the responsibility, in the case of Mila, there is no other address, and it falls on Klal Yisrael, maybe, and, you know, whoever does it is kind of stepping into that, you know, position. I mean, there is a lot of evidence of, you know, Bezdin, you know, Avim Shal Yisomim, Bezdin, Avim Shal Geirim, by the Sugging Suvis and Afyan Aleph, Gevkata Matbilino Sal Das Bezdin, you know. So this idea that, you know, everybody, every member of Klal Yisrael has a particular, like, you know, responsibility towards, you know, a Geir, or whoever's doing it, it's not, I'm saying that two opposite ways to look at it. One is, well, not, you know, he, not any, you know, less, you know, than anyone else, and he's the one who's doing it. You know, or no, whoever does it is the person who's stepping up and taking responsibility and initiating this person on behalf of Klal Yisrael into Geirus, into Kedushas Yisrael. Either way, it's a fascinating question, something that has to be, you know, looked at, right, in a much, much broader way, you know, in terms of Geirus and Milav Geirus. Okay, so let's go back now and discuss the Al and Lamed question in the Rishonim. And I'm not going to finish that, so we'll finish this in Birtz Hashem Thursday.
Are we?
Yeah.
Is the suggestion you were making in Al HaMila and LaHachniso, the Bracha of LaHachniso goes like on the very end of the Mila, or like that it's overlapping?
Well, there is another view, by the way, in the Rishonim that goes to the Priya. That's another important perspective, that there are two mitzvos. That's a big question in general. You know, that's a massive topic. You know, what the relationship is between Mila and Priya, you know, in Mila. The two parts of the same thing, are they two different mitzvos? Do they relate to different things? One about Hafgas, you know, Nachrius, let's say in the case of Geirus and the other Kedushas Yisrael, or in the case of Vlad also, Hafgas Orlus, and the others, you know, Knisa LeKedusha. Like, there's a lot to say about that. But there are Rishonim here who, you know, who make that suggestion. Meaning that the second bracha is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and it said Achar HaMila Lifnei Priya, but it's on the Mitzvah's Priya. Yeah. Now again, the fact that there are two Maisa Mitzvos, two aspects, two dimensions, that they're split up in Mila, I think is still not a coincidence, you know. But I'm sorry, did I cut you off? Is that what you were asking? Or?
No, I'm glad I got to hear it.
Oh, okay.
No, I was asking if the...
I mean, I did cut you off very rudely,
but
it was worthwhile. Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Just like the way that Alachniso even understood as a mitzvah, a Birchas HaMitzvah, I just wonder, is Rebbe saying that it's on the end or the culmination of Mila, or it's...
I mean, why would you do it afterwards? Well, I mean, some Rishonim think you do it if you do it in advance.
No, but I'm saying it's afterwards.
Even if you do it after, if you do it after, it's because, I would guess it's because, you know, it's an interesting question. In other words, is it that the Maisa Mila has both, or it's in the aftermath of the Maisa Mila that Mimela, it's almost like, you know, Mida'agbe Nafakbe, but even more, in a way, that this mitzvah only kicks in, you know, by definition, when you're a mal, or this is part of the Mila Mirosh. There's the, it's one of the Minyan and Taryag mitzvos, and in addition to that, it has like a, you know, this broader, you know, kind of idea.
Overlasiyasan going forward, or there, it's too.
What do you mean? Well, that's, isn't that kind of what I'm saying? Overlasiyasan on mitzvos, on Knisa Labris. I mean, you're not in Knisa Labris, you know, until after, then therefore, it's like, it's almost like, you know, you don't have a choice. It's like Tvila, or Medagbe Nafik, or something. That's what, kind of what I mean. Whereas if it's in advance, then you still need it to be in advance for that. I still understand that view too. Yeah. Yeah, some Rishonim say that too. That means that it should be in principle before.
It wouldn't be as a overlost yasin for the continuation of the mitzvah mila.
Meaning, I'm not understanding your question. I mean, you're right, and that's a shita. That's parallel to the shita about kiddushin as well. I mean, as a group of rishonim that think that you make birchas erusin, you know, including tosis, and you know, tosis referring to that also. That and the Rosh quotes it too. That you make birchas erusin after the kiddushin because maybe she'll turn you down. Right, so it's a chashash bracha levatala. They compare it to the say, to the parallel view of Mila, which means basically, you know, it can mean still one of two things. In other words, we would have instituted a birchas hamitzvah, but we can't, so we instituted a birchas shavach v'hodah instead. Or, more likely, it means that they say that it's one of the sheets of the Ravid, right? The Ravid says that. That, you know, that it's a birchas hamitzvah, but this birchas hamitzvah, you know, can only come after, just like tefillah, because it's gavra de lo chazi. Here it's, you know, safek bracha levatala, therefore it's still mitzuraf to the mitzvah, because you have no choice, you know, but it's a birchas hamitzvah. Right? That's the idea. Is that a problem, or...? No, because what he was saying was, if it's, you know, you're totally right, it does go against, right, but it's not a problem for him. He wasn't referring to that shita. He's referring to the, you know, let's say we say that tosis means, right, you know, not the view that it's bracha levatala, but that the reason that it's la'achar, you know, or is because even though it's a birchas hamitzvah, you know, it's on a different mitzvah. Right, that's what we were trying to explain before. You're pointing out correctly that in addition to all that, it could be that it's a birchas hamitzvah, that in theory it should have been said before, you know, but lemaisa, the kashash bracha levatala, you know, dictates a different order. Right, that is totally a shita as well, 100%. And as I say, in erusin and in a few other things too. Okay, so let's talk about Al and Lama just for a couple of minutes. I guess we'll have to still finish because I have somebody coming at 3. Yeah. So Tosas Dima Masa Vahilchas, so again, is just a little... Zach? On Zayin Amud Beis. You know, just weighs in a little bit on this. Vahilchas Al Bir Chametz, yeah. Yeah, so of course there's not so much token in that tosis, but the tosis reflects, you know, the challenge. Like, it's a very honest tosis, you know. Tosis saying, like, you know, there's flexibility, that's the point. You know, or there's always a reason, you know, but, you know, it's hard to figure it out all the time. And again, if that's the case, are we talking about more likely bigger structural kind of reasons? Right? Like I was pointing to before? Or are we really being challenged, you know, to plumb the depths, you know, through the window of Nusach HaBracha, you know, of different mitzvos and, you know, and their relative status, right? So it's just like just a little. It doesn't add much, but it's as you know, it kind of crystallizes, you know, the questions, and as do all the Rishonim who dealt with this. You know, they all start off like the Ramban did. You know, by being very clear, right? Kasha l'Rabasa, right? You know, why be machnis roshenu b'machlon? We're not such an argumentative people. We don't, you know. But, right, what is going on here? And basically, the Ramban doesn't like the idea that it's just, you know, to reflect either aesthetics or, you know, even if it's my, let's say, more enhanced understanding of those, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know, of before, you know, he thinks it's got to be more than that. Of course, once you get to 3 of my 1, 2, 3 from before, you know, you're closer anyway to kind of saying what Tosa said and what what the Rishonim are trying to say, which is, yes, there are important, there are subtle, rather, you know, differences here. Even if they're not ma'akev, you know, some of the Rishonim think it is ma'akev, at least on the bracha side. The bracha isn't ma'akev, but being, you know, fulfilling the mitzvah with the bracha, you know, maybe it is ma'akev. Okay, so, you know, if you wanted to do this exhaustively, you just have to go through a lot. You know, you have to go to the Rishonim all over the place, and then the Acharonim, and see what they say. You know, I can tell you, it's a massive topic. It's a very rewarding topic, you know, for obvious reasons, because it's, you know, it's a window and an insightful window into the nuances of, you know, mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah, and then, you know, their interrelationship, and it has enormous implications for a lot of different things. Okay. But even if you just look at, you know, in our sugya, at, you know, Tosfos doesn't say much here, but the Rosh, you know, of course, the Rambam, you know, the Ramban and the Ran, and, you know, there's plenty more even here. So, you know, certain, it's clear how rich a topic this is. So let's talk about, just very quickly, let's talk about the two, you know, bigger perspectives. Okay? One is that this is about, you know, the duration of the mitzvah, or the nature of the mitzvah given its duration. Right? It's also two different points. And the second, of course, that it's about how personal or, you know, remote, you know, control, you know, is the mitzvah. Okay, those are two different things. And in a way, it's very interesting, you know, these two different, like, these are the main perspectives, are in some respects opposite when you think about the character of the mitzvah a little bit. That's not a problem, but it's an interesting phenomenon, and sometimes it's something to, I would say, cope with. Okay, meaning, meaning what? Josh, what do I mean by that? You have no clue. You're saying, I don't know. Okay. Meaning, so let's try to, let's see if I'm right. I'm trying to get it from you. Let's say, if you take the view of the duration of the mitzvah, right? So how does it go?
Yeah, the le, it's a long...
If it's more elongated and drawn out, and the al, on the shorter end. Whereas if you take the view that le is about the personal obligation, and al is about the ability to remote control it or to farm it out, right? Then it go, then that's, you know, so is there, like, different, what would you say? They work together, those two things, or in terms of the nature of the mitzvah? Let's go back to our very beginning when we started reading the Shakla V'Tarya of the Gemara. Right, we said, well, you know, likely that the le and the al, you know, aren't just, you know, two niskos, one about the future, one about the past. Even the future and the past, you know, reflect something. Right? Namely, that, you know, le being lahaba, you know, reflects, you know, the chiyuv or the maisa. Right, whereas al, you know, especially going on the past, refers kind of, you know, to the phenomenon, you know, to the, just like, you know, just like the past would be more shavach oriented, but to the chefetz shel mitzvah, to the chalos, you know, of the mitzvah. Right? So even in avar v'yaseh, that makes sense. But now when you translate that to, you know, immediate or elongated, right, and to personal, or, you know, al-yidei acherim, ironically, you know, that comes out very different. At least I think it does. It's not a problem, but it's something to be aware of. Josh, you agree? Or you see it or not?
Meaning when it comes to the...
If I'd asked you, in other words, immediate or elongated, which is more, like, focused on, you know, the chiyuv, the maisa, and which is more focused on, like, the institution of the mitzvah.
You think the short mitzvah, the shita, that's on the maisa.
You think the short ones are just a maisa and a chiyuv, right? Oh, well, not a chiyuv or rishos, but, you know, we'll leave that for now, for another time. But or we've done that, but you know, but the ones that are like, you know, where the mitzvah has stretches out, you know, it's often because you're looking at the bigger impact or you know, the institution of it, right? So the le is going to be on the chiyuv and the maisa, and the al, I'm sorry, the other way. Did I say the wrong? So then the al is going to be on the chiyuv and the maisa, right? And the le, and we understand a little bit why, because le means two, it means it's like it's continuing, right? So the le is going to be on the chalos and on the chefta shel mitzvah. But when you take it the other way, namely, le refers to davar shebegufo. Al refers to something that is, you know, farm outable. And the le is probably, you know, typically more on the maisa and the gavra, you know, certainly on the gavra. And the al is more on, you know, the chalos ha-mitzvah, chafza shel-mitzvah, not the chofes ha-gavra, maybe not even the maisa. Right? So that's just something to be aware of. You know, and maybe, you know, it's hard to say, but depending on which of these schemes you adopt, you know, implicitly, you know, is that going to change the way or the emphasis, you know, that you attribute or that you assign, you know, to a particular mitzvah? Like, you know, when you're stepping back at the end of the day and you're assessing bir chametz or, you know, achilas matzah or hafrashas trumas maisros, you know, or mila or pigeon aben or whatever it is, right? If you're a, you know, Rabbeinu Tam or Rambi, you know, kind of a person, or Ravid Rambi kind of a person, you know, or if you're a Ramban, you know, Ran, like the Ran doesn't even mention Boshitos, right? Ramban, he just goes with Ramban, right? Which is the Riva. But, right, so is that going to affect the way, you know, that you look, given the Nusach HaBracha of a particular mitzvah? You know, like if you're taking one scheme, you're going to look at this mitzvah one way, or the other scheme the other way. That might end up being a consequence. So that's something to think about. Okay. Anyways, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic that Rabbeinu Peretz tries to synthesize the two?
I think so. Yeah. Because, and again, you know, you have all sorts of like exceptions that require, you know, synthesize things. Like in the Ramban already, you know, you'll have like things that are, you know, l'shavar, you know, are going to be an exception, you know, that push you to, you know, al, even if, and what does that mean? Right. So too, if you want to synthesize between, you know, or medag be nafik be, you know, things like that. So yeah, I do think that is a little bit ironic. I don't know what to do with it, but I think it's ironic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's just talk about for a couple of examples, just to highlight a little bit more, you know, and just to show what can be done a little bit in some of these mitzvahs. So let's talk about. Let's go with Ramban, since that's maybe the most, you know, at least with, if we're talking about the Rosh, the Ran, the Ramban, that's the earliest, you know, piece. Although, again, you have earlier ones, clearly, where they're working with the Ravid and the Rambi and, you know, some of the Balei Tosis or Minutam. But, again, I'm not interested in the exhaustive one here because we'll never get out of it. I'm happy to do it another time. But so let's just discuss the Ramban just a little bit to see how some of these things play out. Okay. So who was reading a second ago? Zach? Yeah, Vani Omer. Oh, in a second. No, before we get to it. So first let's do the first one. Right? Lashon Achar Kasav Rabbi B'Shem Rambi. Rabbi Moshe Rabbi Yossi, he was the Rebbe of both the Ravid and the Baal Amor, if I recall. They quote him a lot. In Gittin, as I recall. Yeah. So Rabbi Moshe Rabbi Yosef was one of the, you know, important Chachmei Provence. Yeah, it's also even the language I mentioned before. This I don't want to get into right now. You know, we're talking about, you know, a continuous mitzvah, tadir, or are we talking about elongated? Right? Mitzvah she'ein lo gemar, elachai v'lasos tadir. It sounds like kagon, you know, I would have said, oh, you mean Talmud Torah? You know? Or Yerushalayim? What are you talking about here? But he doesn't mean that. You know, what he really means is a mitzvah mimushaches. Again, it could be, well, there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin all day, there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis all day. You know, but it's also, so what, the mitzvah is mimushaches? The maisa is mimushach? The kiyum is mimushach? Like, what exactly are we talking? These are things to think about and to wonder about. That's what I was talking about before. Like, there could be some things, some gray areas, you know, in the middle here. Right? For example, Hanachas Tefillin, Tzitzis V'Kiyotzeh. We all agree about them, that they're not to be contrasted with, continue the next line of Al Mitzvah. Okay, so the second list is, you know, is clear, somewhat. I should say clear and then say somewhat. But let's say it's clear that you do, it is a maisa, and then it's done. Okay, but the first list, Hanukkah's film, tzitzis, etc., as I say, it still remains a bit of an open question, you know, what we're talking about. Are you constantly, like Talmud Torah, it's a chi of Talmud, and Talmud Torah, every time you learn, you know, it's not like, oh, you're learning and now you're in the momentum of it, and, you know, it's like you're in a sheval tasa kumbase state. You know, you're not. You know, you're screaming at your kabrusa 10 minutes ago. You know, I'm just looking at Josh. And, you know, but are you screaming even more loudly? Because of Ahav Basufa, right? What? Oh, really? Since Robbie, and Robbie can get very loud. He can get very heated too. But like, who'd have thunk it? You know, if you know him, like, he's such a gentle soul. But that's Vahev Basufa, right? You know, Rav Talmud Avu Beno. You know, the Oivin and the Oavin. So you know, there you're talking about, you know, an action that doesn't let up and that continues on the same, you know, level. But well, like, you put on your There's a din of, you know, ituf betalis, you know, and hanochas, you know, tefillin, right? And then you're wearing it. So, you know, it doesn't end. It's not over, you know, but it's not also a continuous action. So is it, you know, continuous, you know, as an action, you know, but in a more passive way, and that's okay? That's what we're talking about? Or are we talking about, you know, maybe the maisa is legamri done, and it's just a kiyum of having it on you now, right? Hard to know, but it's going to be important, you know, for some cases maybe, or distinguishing between some cases, right? For example, the next case, the kashali. Meaning you light the candles, it's done. But the candles are burning, so what do they think? You light the candles are burning. Right? You put on the tzitzis, the talit, the tefillin, you know, and you keep wearing them. Are those the same? Or is wearing something different than, you know, putting it on and continuing to wear it is different than lighting it, you know, and it being lit. This is different. It's a huge difference, right? You can say, oh, you continue to wear. You're walking around with it. You're, you know. Moreover, kavsa, you know, ein zakukla. That's an important factor here. Again, this is not pre-chanukah, so we're not going to spend so much time, but these are things to be thinking about, right? If you needed it, you know, to continue, okay, so if you take off your tefillin and your tzitzis, it's not a bracha levatala either. Okay, but is there even like a lechatchila? It's a different, the kiyum continues. It's hard to say, you know, is the maisa continue? Certainly not the maisa hadlaka. Maybe the maisa levisha continues on some level, right? Elish Rabbeinu Tam, Amar. So what is that? Meaning, first of all, it's an interesting formulation. hol utzricha shemen kadesha todo. Like some of the Rishonim say, just say, well, there's a mitzvah ad shetech l'regel min hashuk. It's interesting they say tzricha shemen kadei. That's probably because he wants to make sure that you're not going to ask him about kavsa, you know, ein zakukla. And you want to make sure also that, like, you know, it's kind of built into the hadlaka, you know, also. So, you know, it's like a continuation of the hadlaka, you know, has this enduring capacity, so it's an expansive, you know, hadlaka. Because if it were just the lighting of the match, then you wouldn't need that chant. But you could have said, no, that's just the shiur in, you know, Pirsumei Nisa, l'chatchila. It's not part of the Maisa Hadlaka. But you make a bracha lahadle. Can you separate the Pirsum part from the Hadlaka part? Ah, that's a big issue. Right, in general. We'll get to that in just a second. Right, Ve'ena Mechuvar, he doesn't like it. Why doesn't he like it? Probably because he thinks that either that's just Pirsum, or requirement of Pirsum, or it's a Kiyum, but it's not an extended Maisa. As I mentioned, there's a whole, like, you know, literature about Levisha. You know, you put something on and then you continue to wear it. Is that Kumbase, Shavaltasa? What is that? With regard to, you know, Kavod HaBrios, Poshtin Oso Afila Bashuk, you know? And that's a whole question. With regard to Yesh Kok Biad Chachamim, you know, Lakor, the Shavaltasa, the Kumbase. What is Kumbase? What is Shavaltasa in these gray areas? So he doesn't like it. Others like it. Right? The Betkiah Shofar. Wow. Nice. Right? Yeah. Not al. Right. Forget about the Shmiah Tkiah question that he's glossing over. For now, but it's li, so the li implies that it's, you know, it's not over, right? So you could have said that's a problem, right? Oh, so he doesn't answer that. He's troubled by that. That's one of the reasons that he abandons it. Correct. Some of the Rishonim give the answer. Josh. Tkiyas demyushav, tkiyas demu'umad. Right, that the Ikar Tkiyas Shofar is all Seder HaBrachos, not the Tkiyas Demiusha. By the way, there's a whole discussion about that. Like, what about Sicha Bein Atayim? Right, can you be Mapsik from the Bracha until the end? That's a big debate. We're knowing, try not to. I mean, the Rambam quotes this as already discussion of the Gonim. The Rambam, I think quoting the Bahag, says maybe there's a difference between the Tokeya, right, and the Shomeya. I think our practice mostly is that we're trying to be machmid even for the Shomim, you know, not to be mafsik from one to the other. So this, of course, is very relevant to this question. The whole question of, is it possible to distinguish, you know, in terms of, like, this whole debate about, Shvarim Trua, we'll have to stop in, like, 2 more minutes, you know, whether there's b'neshimachas or shtei neshimos, right? Should you distinguish between tkiyas demiyushav and tkiyas demeumad? I'll say our brachos. And if so, in which direction and why? So, I mean, there's a debate between the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ramban, whether shvarim tshuah requires neshimachas or shtei neshimos. But there are many poskim who, you know, the way that they handle it is to distinguish. So, like, you know, what is the relationship between these two things? Right? There's a lechatchila, according to the Rambam, that the Baal Tkiyah should be one person, you know, from the beginning to the end. And others say, no, what's the difference? You know, certainly you should be mechaling, it's what people do in practice, if they need to, between the Tkiyahs de Mu'umah and Tkiyahs de Mu'ushab. Maybe even, you know, within them. That's also has to do with the question of Shmi and Tkiyah, which I'm not going to get to right now. But the point is, you have major, interesting issues and discussions here. What about, why didn't the Rishonim just say that that tkiyas are mimushachos simply because you have to do more than one? Right? You need to have three truos, and you need to have tkiyos surrounding them. Apparently that's considered one unit. That's considered, like the Tilas Lulav or Shchita or Mila. That's an interesting question. Right? That's Shiur. So, for example, in terms of Hefsek, it is. But I don't know whether that's the proper, frame of reference. In other words, if you're Mafsek after the Bracha, before your Yotze, the minimum kolos, which are really the 9, which is misafek the 30, then you have to be chozer. Otherwise, it might be better not to be mafsik, but you're not chozer. Right? It's comparable to, according to the most of the Rishonim and Poskim, like you made a birchas sanenin, and then you were mafsik before you ate. Okay? So it's interesting, though, that that's not considered enough to justify al. So all I'm trying to say is, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to analyze here. Okay. The Ramban doesn't like it. He doesn't like any of these chilukim. Alachilas matzah. Right? So here I understand him. He's saying it should be lechol. I'm sorry. It should be alachilas matzah. Right? Because it's immediate. The Netziv has this view that achilas matzah is, even if you don't hold like the Gra and others who think that there's a kiyum mitzvah of achilas matzah kol shiva, he thinks at least on like the Leila Seder, the whole Leila Seder, there's a kiyum of achilas matzah. Okay? That might explain, that it's more elongated. But what do we mean by elongated? Right? Okay? So, either way, the Ramban, in the end of the day, doesn't like this very much. And what he does like instead is the other possibility. Okay, Zach? Vani Omer? So it's interesting that he starts off by saying, L'chatchila ayidei acher. Which, of course, and if it's only b'diavet ayidei acher, right? I mean, it's obviously not a davar shebegufo in terms of being ma'akev. So what are we saying? There can be personal mitzvos, and let's say there's it's more complicated than that. Let's say there's an extra kiyum or an extra dimension if you do it yourself. This is what we're talking about in Mila. But it's not exactly b'diavet, or at least in the ikar mitzvah, it's fine that you also do it on yidei achirim, right? So the language is very important, but it's raising question. L'chatchila yidei achir. Let's say the only way to do it on yidei achir, right, is through shlichus. Does that make it al or lamed? I mean, most of the Rishonim are saying efshal yidei shliach is al. Then they're coming up with ideas like when it comes up Frush's Trubus and Meisrus and things like that, if you need his input, his das, then that's lamed. That's also midi. I mean, there are two types of shlichus, the shlichus or zechia, shalomi daito, and they mean shlichus only in a broader way, as opposed to shlucho shalom kemoso, which is kind of in the gray area, because you're doing it, he's doing it through you, as opposed to you don't need to do it, you just need to make sure that somebody's doing it. Is this a din in the mitzvah, in the chafzishal mitzvah, then that's all we care about. Maybe leh, though, requires, only the personal chiyuv to actually mitzvah shebegufo. Right? That's trying to show, again, there are gray areas, and some of these gray areas are brought out by the Rishonim. Okay, I'm going to stop in one more minute. Shekol mitzvah shonim yotze v'chatchila ayde akher, kagon biur. Again, biur is like most like a no-brainer, right? You know, it's pretty clear. Again, do you need shlichus for tashbisu, for biur comments, for bedikas comments? We discuss that, right? It's an interesting question. You may not even need it. It may not work, and you may not need it. But clearly, I mean, regular biur, you can definitely do it. You're not going to violate by Rabbi Matze, that's for sure. Kagon biur kavau baal. Bechain. Right. So, what is he saying here? That there's no kiyum even, or the fact that it works is enough, and then there's like to regularize, better to have one nusach abracha, or right? The kol. It's interesting. The kol shekain. I'm sorry. It's interesting that he puts that in. I mean, he's worried, oh, if it's not personal, where'd he get the lishma from? I mean, the Oved can add the lishma. It doesn't have to be the Bailin. Okay? So that's like removed from you, therefore it can be Al, right? The Kol Shekain, meaning. It's interesting that he uses the kol shekain, right? The huadin. Yeah. Why isn't that already under the rubric of shluchos shalom kamoso? Maybe it is, but interesting because in general shlichus betruma is a very touchy. You know, it sounds like emotion. It's a very controversial. Issue. And one of the makoros for shlichos is from Truma, Atem Gam Atem, the Rabba Shulchachem, the Sugyan Kedushin, second parak. On the other hand, there are Gemaras that imply, Gemara Gittin Dav Samech Hey, and certainly as the Ramban understands it, that maybe you don't even need shlichos for Truma. So shlichos for Truma is a chalos of some sort. You know, but it isn't necessarily required. That's why Kol Shekain Shulchos Shalom Kamoso V'Hu Adin. I think that's why LaHafrashas Trumas Amaisos V'Chala B'Kulam V'Varchin Al. Okay, V'Chein Kasa V'Rabacha Mishabcha V'Chein B'Meniach Eruvin. Okay, those are clear. Those are mitzvah shebegufo. That's also interesting, but again. Okay, then once again comes the ambiguous cases. These are the testing cases. They test the mitzvah in question as well as the categories themselves, right? Harei hadlakas ner Chanukah, again a problem. Meaning what? The hadlaka is the mitzvah. Not, it's not really ayde shliach. The itmar beperik ma memadlik and the tzarich lishtat tufei bepriti the ene yotze ela bishalatzmo. Woo. What's he saying? First of all, the chiddush and how he understands mishtat bepriti. Clearly, the Rush didn't like this whole thing. The Rush didn't like it. He has his own, you know, suggestions instead. Pashtus of Mishtata Bepriti is a tziruf thing. But it's not that, you know, oh, you know, so you really, you know, are considered, it's your candle that's being lit. And even if it is your candle that's also being lit, even though you're a stranger in the house, you know, you would have thought that the whole point of the le, right, is the Maisa of the Gavra. He's not the Maisa Gavra. Right, so clearly, Kadlakas Neiros Chanukah is being perceived a certain way, even Mishtata Bepriti, which is an outlying case. Normally, think it's oh, it's like Neri Shabeso, you know, but he's Mitzuref to the Beso. He's saying much more than that, but it's also expanding, you know, what we mean by, you know, Chovas Agabra, Maisa Agabra. Maisa Agabra doesn't mean he's doing the Pa'ula anymore. It means there's something, you know, that's connected to him. Right? He is the Madlik. You're not just Madlik for others. And, you know, your Yotze, not through Shlichus, but it's, or, you know, it's more than Shlichus in a way. Right? Big finish. Va'od. Kivisha Roa. Yeah, this is a bigger chiddush, maybe, or let's say, as big a chiddush. What's he saying? The Birchas HaRoeh, which is connected certainly to Persume Nisa, it justifies the Le. How so? Meaning the because everybody has their own personal Re'iyah, so, you know, whoever is making and hearing the bracha, it's a personal one, right? Very ironic, though, because the birchas re'iyah, you know, seems more like a birchas shavak v'hoda, which isn't, you know, about the maisa, it's about the chefza, right? On the other hand, by the way, he compares this to shofar, which is also very interesting. It says v'hu adin, maybe that's the pshat in shofar. How so? I mean, everybody's doing their own lishmoa. So everybody's mitzvah shebegufo. So I think this is an interesting, then he wants to know, you know, about Mikra Megillah. Right, I'll have to stop it because it's really, whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is as follows. In Chanukah, I'd say it's particularly interesting to invoke Birchas HaRe'iyah because of what I just said a second ago. But it reflects like a certain very important orientation, which I've spoken about many, many times pre-Chanukah, and that is that one of the unique features of Chanukah is that Pirsum Anes and Shevach and Hodah on Chanukah itself are catapulted and integrated, you know, into the mitzvah, into the Maisa mitzvah. It's such a central feature of the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, the Pirsum Anes and the Shevach, the Hodah, etc., you know, that, for example, you know, that's the big discussion, like, when should you make the bracha of Birchas HaRoeh? Right? Two examples, just very quickly. One is, over Las Yosef, before or after? Right? That's one. Our psak is, we paskin, the Ramah paskin, so you make it before. Right? Not only Lahadig Neros, but Shasanisim. But the Rishonim who think that you make it after. Also, very closely related to that, right? If you walk home and you didn't do Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah yet, and you encounter, you know, a ner, a menorah, some Rishonim think, well, you know, mitzvah baliyad chal tach mitzena, you should make the Birchas HaRoeh now, right? But most Rishonim paskin, that you, if you're going home to be madlik, you should wait, and that's a big issue. Like, why? The Re'iyah is the same whether you're, you know, whether it's your Chanukiah, right, or somebody else's, because it's a Birchas HaRoeh. But apparently, according to a large group of Rishonim, that's not true. If you can integrate the Re'iyah with the Hadlaka, because the Hadlaka itself is connected to the Re'iyah, right? So, that, I think, is what the Ramban is saying here. Ramban saying, don't think that the Re'iyah, which is the personal aspect of Neiros Chanukah, don't think that that's like an additional, separate kiyum. No. That is connected to Lahat. Again, you make a separate bracha on the Re'iyah. Birchas HaRoeh is Asher Shasanis and Lavaseinu. Doesn't matter. Okay? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here because it's late. And I have somebody who... One second. Okay, so yeah, we'll stop here for now, and to be continued. Just I want to speak about a couple of